I always feel the pressure to find the perfect gift for my relatives. In this case, whether you're sending an unforgettable gift or treating yourself to everyday perfection, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. For me, I'm not just into steaks. I like all types of meat. That's why I'll usually get the Winter's Bestseller Pack. It comes with juicy fillets, chicken breast, pork chops, and even burgers. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. A family-owned company with over 100 years of experience in the meat industry. Save big on unforgettable gifts with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide and earn an extra 20% off select favorites during their cyber sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide plus an extra 20% off select favorites and more limited-time deals during their cyber sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
Greetings and hello, Find Us Alive listeners. It's me, Anna, writer and director, and hiatus taker. It's December, and my team needs a vacation. We will not be recording in December, which means that episode 65 will come out on the first Friday of February 2026. This is not the last episode. I know it looks like it is, but it is not. There is more. Thanks for your patience as we focus on taking a breather for the holidays. Also, we have some new patrons. A big special thanks to CatMonster64, Joe Swasion, Lucky Lucy, Robin Rocket, someone named Tigget, and Vil. Thanks to you all for helping us keep a roof over our heads. Thank you all for your support. People like you are what keep the show going. If you want to hear your name at the start of an episode and get other cool stuff like ad-free downloads, merch, and more, consider supporting us at patreon.com/hodgepodgeaudio. You can also give a one-time donation at hodgepodgeaudio.com. That's patreon.com/hodgepodgeaudio. Thank you so much, happy holidays, and enjoy the episode.
Welcome, listeners, to Site 107's Swan Song. Last cycle. Security burned through much of our firepower, killing our most recent Errant -2 instance. That leaves us with significantly fewer options in the way of flammables and explosives than we would like. As we speak, research and engineering are working on jerry-rigging something that would generate enough energy on the inside to match the detonation on the outside. I don't lack faith, but I do lack optimism. Maintenance and medical have built a still for evaporating fresh water from wastewater, and after we run out of our current freshwater supplies, we'll be able to use the still until we run out of fuel for the blowtorches. We have food. The refrigerators will last a couple more days after the heat dissipates. Much of it will require heat to prepare, which will expend either our power, if we're using electricity, or our oxygen, if we're using flame. And after that, we're down to nutrient paste. We have plenty of nutrient paste. We will run out of heat before we run out of food or drinkable water. Once, during a wildcard effect, we had a wing flash freeze, but besides that, we don't have a true estimate on heat retention in the void. Our scientists of various stripes are operating on the assumption that it will mimic outer space. Cold. Too cold to survive for long. There's an irony to it. Our emergency systems were constructed with a cave collapse in mind, and if the cold doesn't get us the carbon dioxide, poisoning will. We have one choice now, outsiders. We escape, or we die. Fortunately for us, Site 01 has a similar decision to make. Get us out at all costs, or wait to see if 6320 is kind in how much of the planet it takes when it cracks a -1 into the tectonic plate below us.
Dump truck can still teleport, right?
Yeah.
I need to send a message to Harley.
I can't really get him to go to exact places.
But if Harley made a -1, maybe...
I'm not sending him down there. Go tell him yourself. Why are you joking around anyway?
It's... I mean, we might as well.
Yeah, well, joke with somebody else.
We're getting out.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the cold?
Feels fine right now.
I mean, in general.
Dunno.
I'm going to pretend I'm in the Alaskan wilderness. Snowy mountains in the distance.
Okay.
We're going to start moving everybody to the containment wing soon.
The food, too?
Yeah, some of it. Enough to get us through a couple days, in case the exit comes down and the outside has to dig us out.
Harley?
He has to count us down. He'll be fine. So, you, work things out with Love?
Yeah.
Good.
Alves?
Kid, I'm never working things out with Alves. That ship sailed a long time ago. But I appreciate the ask.
I'm ready.
Me too. Can't wait to see the sky again.
Not for that.
Oh.
If I get to be with her, then I'm ready.
You're too young to be talking like that.
I have everything I want.
And what about the ocean?
Just a dream. They can't take it from me.
I'm sure it would love to meet you.
It's the ocean. It doesn't love anything.
And if we escape?
Dunno. I'll do something.
That's my girl. I'm not ready yet.
I think most aren't.
When everybody is safe, then I'll be ready.
How's it going?
I don't know. It's hard to say.
Talk to me.
Do you ever think about how many ends of the world there have been? Thousands. Uncountable.
We go through apocalypses like dogs go through stuffed animals.
I meant the little ones. Comparatively. Not the huge, anomalous disasters that threaten the continued existence of our world. Not an extra-dimensional anomaly carving into the Earth in preparation to pull the whole planet, or at least part of it, into the void. I mean, things like...
The end of the Ice Age.
Exactly. The death of the Neanderthals, the fall of the latest empire, the most recent decimating plague.
Yeah.
I feel split between two apocalypses. The one out there, and the one that might really be the end of life on this planet as we know it. If we don't get this under control, we could lose the Earth. No sun in the void. No moon. The tides would stop. The plants would die. I doubt the atmosphere would stay intact. The whole world could die before the end of the month, gasping for air in the freezing dark. But that's theoretical for us. We don't feel the earthquakes. Were our cycle still intact, we would have lived out the rest of our lives in here, I'd gamble. We could have watched Pompeii from across the Tyrrhenian Sea. But instead, we have our own end of the world. A smaller one, quieter. The slow death of our colleagues, our friends, marching steadily toward us. Unless we can be pulled from our circumstances. We don't even have an emergency siren to sing us to sleep. Just the dark and each other. A smaller and smaller group until only one is left.
We're Pompeii, and you're a copper mining ghost town.
Maybe, yeah.
We're going to get you out. And we're going to stop this together.
I think our psychology department is right about how useful we will be upon escaping. Or how useful we will not be, rather.
I'm sure you'll be able to help
with it. Dr. Lancaster says that once we get out of here and back into the real world, the trauma might catch up with us all at once. It's hard to say what the effect of that will be.
Noah says they have, like, a really solid plan for quarantine and examination after you're out. Sure, some of it's going to require the Foundation to step in and fly some of you to better medical facilities, but we have a couple medics on site right now.
Prioritize Dr. Gravett.
How is she?
She's doing the worst out of all of us. The broken bones, the lacerations, we can handle that ourselves. She needs a hospital.
Noted. I'll send word to Noah. Are you scared?
I'm more scared for you than I am for myself. Are you?
Yeah. I've never, actually been this close to an XK-class end-of-the-world scenario before. Every world-ender after Round 4 was something that we put down before it got past the gate. It's so weird. Logically, I know that things like this happen all the time. I just don't hear about it.
It makes you wonder how many people don't know what's going on right now.
Plenty. But there are still people who do know. And care.
I suppose we can take some comfort in knowing that we won't go unmourned.
Oh, will you stop being such a stick in the mud? It's going to work, Harley.
Yeah. I have high hopes that it will.
One second. How close are we? About an hour out. Time to get ready.
I'll check in again in 30 minutes.
Roger.
Attention, Site 107. We have T-minus 1 hour until the exterior explosives are in place. Dr. Alves, Dr. Masterson, and Officer Haldi, please run a final check on the explosives in BH-9. All other personnel, please make your way to BH-4 and report to Dr. Klein to be counted.
Buddy system until we reach containment. If you need to piss, do it now. No other detours. Move in groups. We don't need to be losing anybody now.
Hey, buddy. Can you push me for a while? My arms are kind of tired.
Yeah.
And we're sure Harley's office is structurally sound?
It survived the first shift, didn't it? Better than your office did. It's not like we've got a choice. Somebody needs to count us down so we can blow it at the same time the outside does.
Right.
He'll be fine, Lancaster. We'll all be fine.
Are you excited to sleep in your own bed again?
My place has probably collapsed.
Huh?
The earthquakes.
Oh, yeah. Good thing my real place is in Ohio.
I thought you lived in Oregon.
Nah, I've been thinking about moving. I think I will. Oh, my good boy.
Highway will have to stay in his own chamber until we blow the detonation, love.
I remember. He'll be good.
And you'll have to keep Dump Truck from teleporting.
I can't promise that.
We'll try.
Lancaster?
Hmm?
You with us?
Yeah, I'm thinking.
What about?
I mean...
Yeah, me too.
There was another quake. We have to hurry.
We're ready. Everyone is locked down. Explosives are armed. We can set them off remotely.
Hey, this might be selfish of me, but...
Yeah?
If this doesn't work, I just want you to know that... I tried as hard as I could. A lot of us did. We've really fought for you.
I know. You've done all you could. You've been wonderful to us.
The waiting might be, the worst part. Not knowing what's going to happen to you, or Noah, or what'll happen after we fix it. I'm sure Site-01 isn't thrilled about how messy this got. Somebody's gonna have to pay for that.
We'll do what we can to protect you.
I don't know if you'll be able to when all's said and done. But thanks anyway. It's going to be bad for a while.
Yeah, it'll be bad for a while. It won't be bad and then it will be over.
Then it'll be over. It's Noah.
Okay. Let's do it.
Noah told me the volunteers were all positioned in locations that wouldn't have them overlapping with Site 107 staff when they reappear.
Easy enough. 99% of us are in one place, and the other 1% is here in my office.
Both locations were confirmed to be empty spaces in the tunnels. Places where people wouldn't end up reappearing inside walls or something.
All our explosives are armed and ready. I'm holding the activator in my hand. It feels heavier than it should.
Fowler from engineering is crying. I watch Wilson, formerly D2, put an arm around her shoulders.
The countdown starts.
I move out of my wheelchair to sit on the floor.
I sit next to her.
I've got dump truck in my lap.
Everything will be different after this.
I lean my forehead against Ingrid's.
For a moment, I don't know if I can hit this button.
My heart is in my throat.
I'm scared.
I've never been so alone in this office. 3, 2, 1. Cordell, did we, did it? Hello? Are you? Wait. Where? Come back! I can see you! Hello? Hello? Anyone? Anyone?
Harley, we saw someone. Harley!
Yeah, I saw someone too.
Did it work?
No, I don't think so. But it almost did. I turned off my radio temporarily to save power while we took stock of what happened.
The doors, the front doors, won't open. Burnett ran up and checked.
It worked.
It's still pitch dark,
but only for a second.
I saw Nari's face in the floodlight.
It was so quiet in that room.
I don't want to stay here anymore.
Nobody else wanted to leave the containment chamber we were all in. I guess there wasn't a reason to.
I left my office to meet up with the others.
It's funny. When Burnett opened the door and there was someone else behind her, I saw the same look on everybody's face.
For a moment, I thought it was somebody from the outside.
But it was just Harley.
It almost worked. Lancaster crossed the room to me.
Lancaster hugs Harley. And it breaks something in the rest of us. Fewer people cry than I was expecting. But some do.
I can't get myself to. I don't know why.
It's so quiet.
There's no foundation.
It's like I have nothing left in me.
Just people in a disaster. Their faces buried in their hands.
But the worst is how many people are looking at me.
What do we do now?
I went back to my office. It was the only thing I could think to do with myself.
Welcome back! According to Noah, the quake from our last attempt collapsed a few wings of the tunnels, so you're going to have to find a position to put everybody that's, like, farther up. But somebody saw you! They were with the hand, I think. Noah has a hypothesis that because they're around anomalous spaces so often, it's made them sticky. Does that make sense? The point is, it sounds like a few people had eyes on you for a few seconds longer than others.
That could be something. And the reality anchor really seems like it's pulling hard. We're almost there. NOAA seems ripe enough for 2 detonations, so we have enough left for 1 more before we have to make another shipment. Which is great, because, like, the time between the smaller tremors is getting shorter every day. We've got a ticking clock on the whole... I just mean that Sayo-1 is really being pushed to take action. They can't not at this point. Not the possibility that we're all going to die, them included. I know there's rumors that some people in there have artificially extended lifespans, but that's my doubts your void can sustain even
Cordell,
that. I mean...
we have nothing left. We're done.
No, we're not. There are like 100 people down there working. Don't give up. We can do this.
Cordell.
Harley...
I know your office doesn't have a window, but...
it was almost sunny today. Still kinda cloudy, but there were places where the clouds broke and you could see the sun. I even saw angel beams this morning.
Angel beams?
Yeah, sunrays. Like, when you can see the columns of light when it hits the moisture in the air.
Keep going.
My neighbor's cherry tree is blooming, but it's windy, so the petals will probably get blown off soon. I just realized it wasn't this morning. It's 8 a.m. now. It was yesterday morning. I guess I really am on the, like, world-ending emergency schedule now. Isn't it weird to fend off the end of the world when it's... so nice outside.
I have to go. We do have something. We have one thing left.
Harley wasn't the first person to put it together.
He was just the first one to say anything out loud.
I thought of it. I didn't say anything.
Lank, there could be one more thing we could try.
Back to AB.
Harley says that the outside says parts of the tunnel have collapsed after the last bomb.
We don't need anybody reappearing inside a rock. You know, in case they figure something out there.
Sorry for shutting you off. I'm going to be a minute. Tell NOAA to get ready for another detonation.
He says the wall around the skip is getting eroded by all the blasts. It's made the rockets on stronger somehow, but not everywhere. It'll be floating in the air soon if we blow much more stone.
Just one more. One more, and all of this will be over one way or another.
Roger.
The emergency bomb.
A smaller alternative to the nuclear warhead some of the biggest locations have.
Xiao says the blast might not reach us if we can squeeze everybody into the far corner of the AB floor.
There's just one thing.
It has to be detonated manually. I used to head a research team at a different site. I thought I was good at it. Knowing what I know now, I think I kinda sucked, actually. Not at the research part. I've always been good at that. I got people killed when I was in that job. And the Foundation punished me by moving me to a different leadership position, where I could get more people killed. I'm not letting any more of my people die. Not a single one.
Klein opts not to make a spectacle out of it.
She tells Xiao and Haldi. They'll be the best designated leaders afterward.
She talks to all this for a second.
But she didn't tell us.
Except me. Someone has to give the countdown. And I don't make a big deal out of it.
I never really wanted to be in charge. When I was in undergrad, all I wanted to do was look at core samples and put sand under a microscope, which you can totally do by yourself. But I never did it by myself. I don't know. I guess I'm not as much of an introvert as other academic types. I wanted people there with me. I wanted us all to share in the discovery together. I probably ended up being put in charge of things just for that. I'm loud. I'm sociable. And I know what I want, usually. Scientifically.
I asked her why. Why just me? Why not Lancaster and Love and Radiker?
Come on, Harley. You know they'd never let me do it.
Why not the D-Class?
Lancaster's right. I fought to keep everybody alive. I'm not going to break that promise just to sacrifice one of them last minute.
Even if they are near their expiration date. We've kept them prisoner for multiple lifetimes. The least we can do is not expect them to lay down their lives for their captors. We're a human experimentation factory. We can't keep pretending that we're better than murderers. But we can be better than the Foundation.
I'm not a good site director. I'm too impulsive, too reckless. Move fast and break things isn't typically the way the Foundation operates. Typically. But now the fate of the world is at stake. Sometimes we get some license to do whatever. If the alternative is that the whole planet gets blasted into the void, and every living creature on it suffocates to death. Sometimes we make big, stupid choices. We have to. If a big, stupid choice can get everybody out of here, if it can stop 6320 and save the world, I'm happy to be the focal point. Or maybe I'm selfish, and I just like the idea of being a martyr.
You don't have to do this.
Somebody does. We don't have time to think of something else. Let me do this, Harley. Let me do it. And it'll be the best thing I've ever done. For the best friends I've ever had.
They'll never forgive you for not saying goodbye.
Then say goodbye for me. Tell them to leave. The Foundation isn't going to change fast enough. It's going to drive Lancaster crazy. He'll be happier somewhere else. And it's not going to place Love somewhere she's happy after her injury. She won't survive a desk job. And Radiger needs to get out. If you don't push her, she'll never do it. Tell them I'm sorry. Tell them I'm proud of them all. That's the most important thing.
And what about me? What goodbye do I get?
Don't let them say I got us out. It was all you. And never let them shut you up, head of communications.
I'll tell them. I don't mention that my office is much closer to the blast than AB. I let it stay in silence.
But someone has to detonate the bomb.
And someone has to count us down.
We're standing in the hall, just outside the double doors to AB. My hand on his shoulder.
It's still dark. Klein has a flashlight, and so do I. I never imagined I would miss the fluorescence.
It still smells like smoke and dust from the other blast.
It's quiet. And I understand Klein's perspective perfectly.
We start walking together.
Down toward my office.
Down toward BH9.
And then, I hear footsteps behind us. Dr. Gravett looks so different than she did 6 months ago.
Pale. Hunched over.
Shaky.
It looks like it's so hard to stand.
But she stands, and her eyes are clear, even if her voice is quiet.
She tells Klein bluntly that she's going to set off the emergency bomb herself.
I try to argue.
Dr. Gravett explains that her life is over. She tells us about the cancer, finally disclosing to the whole site.
I had no idea.
She tells us that she has weeks, days. It's the end, she says. Irene Gravett says she has lived most of her life on the Foundation's terms. Being another red hand of the Council, she fit the mold. She was good at the work. But the Foundation, her Foundation, is falling apart at the seams. It won't survive, she says. It won't survive people like us. And every day, there are more and more people like us. She says that our shining new world is no place for a creature like her. and she's glad of it. Death comes for us all, she says. Death has come for her. She would like to meet it on her own terms.
I can understand that.
Irene Gravett has no goodbyes to give. The doctors and nurses began theirs the moment they found the tumor. Nobody else knew her. Not really. She was a pillar, a load-bearing support, but never something as permanent as a friend. There were no comrades in her foundation. She couldn't become one for the sake of ours. She insists on walking downstairs by herself, but I'm accompanying her part of the way anyway. I have to get to my office.
Hey. See you on the outside?
Yeah. I guess I'm a hypocrite for how I spoke to Klein. Because I'm not saying goodbyes either. In my defense, there's still a possibility that I'll make it out alive. Maybe the main explosion won't breach the bottom floor. Cordell, we're almost ready.
Great! We are too!
Maybe my office is structurally sound enough that the ceiling won't collapse on top of me.
We can do this, Harley. One more blast and you're home free.
Yeah, one more blast. Then. The detonator will be armed soon. I just have to wait for the call. Klein was ready to leave without saying goodbye because she didn't want to be stopped. Maybe I'm a coward. But I didn't say goodbye because something in my head says that if I don't say goodbye, there won't be a goodbye. And I'll see everybody on the outside. We'll celebrate. We'll mourn Gravett, and they won't mourn me. Okay, we're ready.
No one needs a few more minutes.
I'm not scared of dying. I'm scared of leaving. What?
Klein told us. We realized you're closer to the bomb.
You didn't even say goodbye, asshole.
You should have said something.
Get in here, you all.
Were you just gonna die without telling us?
I didn't think I was going to die.
He knew it was a possibility.
A possibility, I guess.
I don't want to be up there for this. I want to be with all of you.
That's sweet, love.
Are you doing okay? I know it's cramped and dark in here.
Yeah, I'm doing okay.
Harley?
Yeah?
Are we going to die in here?
It's possible. I think you still have time to get back to AB.
No. Love is staying here. And you're staying too.
Klein?
I was totally ready to get atomized like 10 minutes ago.
Lank?
I also want the posthumous attention of becoming a martyr.
So, what are we waiting for?
Cordell, she said Noah had one more thing to get ready.
Hey, if we do all die, I just wanted you guys to know that you didn't suck all that bad.
Well, since I'm not a gay coward, I'll say it. I love you guys. It's been an absolute pleasure working with you all.
It's been even more of a pleasure doing all the other stuff that wasn't work with you all.
Hmm.
All right. You ready to be rescued?
Council?
See you on the other side.
The outside.
I guess.
I should have brought my other hat.
The council approves.
Counting down from 10.
10.
9. 8. 7. 6. 5. 4. 3. 2. 1.
0.
Episode 64 was written and produced by Anna McGuire. The voice of Harley is Logan Laidlaw. The voice of Klein is Tosh Ritter. The voice of Lancaster is Jackson McMurray. The voice of Agent Love is Tappy Bardal. The voice of Radiger is Anna McGuire. The voice of Cordell is Ashley Quills. The voice of Noah is Vin Box, featuring the voice of Harry Blank. Original music by Jackson McMurray. If you like our show and want to support us, sign up for our newsletter at hodgepodgeaudio.com. This podcast, along with all content relating to the SCP Foundation, is released under a Creative Commons ShareAlike 3.0 license. Thank you for listening.